Holy cats, Doc, we're back again.
Here we are at American Christian.
Oh my word, are we not trying to ignite revival fire in the hearts of men today?
Yes. Coming right out of East Central Minnesota,
oh my
spreading
goodness.
Over the state of Minnesota, the United States of America, and out to the world.
Wow. Hey, that's exactly what Jesus wanted us to do.
I think he did.
Get out and go.
Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth.
Man.
Acts 1:8.
I so like that.
Wow.
Man, we are... We're in episode 16. If you're keeping track, maybe you're keeping track of where we're at. We've come out of this. We've come out of the death of Gideon in chapter 8, right?
In Judges,
and we learn that Gideon didn't finish well.
Right.
There becomes a problem. Temptation comes in on the back end of this wonderful defeat, and they gather up all these golden earrings. I mean,
he makes it into an ephod. They worship it.
Yeah,
back in Ophrah itself, where all this started, where the angel of the Lord appeared to him.
Isn't that something?
I know.
Man, the devil wants to step on and tread on the.
But
things.
For 40 years, they do this.
Yeah.
It says that, and then of course, but well,
man.
So
raise your children well, listener.
So Gideon is obviously a guy that really liked women, and had 70 sons.
Yeah, my wife was like, "No woman has 70 sons, Pete."
There was more than
okay,
one.
Okay. So he has multiple wives, right?
Quite a few.
And then there's these concubines.
Right. So he has a concubine in Shechem, and she bears him a son called Abimelech.
Yeah. Man, Doc, this, you know, I'd want the listener to know this. Hey, I read through this four times, maybe even five times. I read through this chapter 9 of Judges. And the first time through, man, I was just like, what's going on here? What's the deal with this? Why is this chapter in the middle of the book of Judges? This is like all of a sudden we have these good guys, and now we got Abimelech.
Right.
And he comes from this this woman, this concubine. I don't think concubines should have children, but she does.
Right.
And now you've got this boy growing up in this world absent of his father, more than likely, right? I mean,
right.
If you're sitting at the table with all your brothers and sisters, you might be the last guy to that chicken leg. But so he's orphaned, right, Doc?
Right, the orphan spirit.
Do we see the orphan spirit today in today's church, do you think, in the American church?
We do.
We deal with it, don't we?
We see it all over the place. And one of the manifestations of it is that it really gives people, as they come into their adult years, is its extreme desire to be in control.
Ooh.
And that's exactly what happens with Abimelech.
Doctor, that is an excellent observation.
Right, and the healing of it, of course, which we've seen happen in many people in these last 20 years, is the healing of the orphan spirit is massive downloads of the Father's love.
Mm.
So we kind of have two things going on here in this session today. You know, how does this all fit in with revival? But also, I mean, the constancy of the Father's love, I think that kind of feeds to the continuous aspect of revival. Revival is available continuously if people will just receive large amounts of the Father's love right into their souls, into their minds, into their memories, and let themselves be healed.
Right.
And it'll be a byproduct then that this desire to control and manipulate people will begin to fall by the wayside. But that was not so here with Abimelech, who, as we see here in chapter 9, in the early verses, gets up and says, verse 2, which is better for you, that all 70 of the sons of Jerubbaal, remember that's Gideon, that all 70 reign over you, or that one reign? Remember, I am your own flesh and bone. Well, he is, but he isn't, you know.
Right.
And so his mother's brothers spoke all these words concerning him, and they begin to turn this whole town of Shechem in a direction to be controlled and manipulated by Abimelech.
Why is revival so hard, right? I mean, you pointed that out a few episodes ago. I mean, revival is a hard thing to come because there's a lot of things that want to stand up against it.
And you get all these human drives and human desires that do not subject themselves to the will of God. And we see that really next here. So they're all talking about Abimelech. Hey, he's our brother. We should listen to him. Then, verse 4, they gave him 70 shekels of silver from the temple of Baal-berit. Now, that should have been a clue right there. We're going in a really bad direction here, guys. But they just hand over the cash, man.
Right.
How much was this, Pete?
We're looking at about 22,000.
22 grand. They just go in and take it out of the temple and they give it to Abimelech.
Here you go.
Wow.
Wow.
And so Abimelech, he takes it and he hires worthless and reckless men, and they followed him.
And then they
pay their salaries for a few months.
It would get some things done in today's market.
It would,
22 grand.
Right.
But it's interesting that he takes the money, and then he takes the money from his mother's side of the family to slaughter his father's side of the family.
That's interesting, isn't it?
It is.
And but, so that's exactly what he does.
Yeah.
And so he goes up to Ophrah.
Right.
And kills his brothers, the 70 sons of Gideon, Zerubbabel, on one stone.
What does that mean, Doc, one stone?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Was he offering them to Baal-berit? You would have think he would have taken them to the temple if he was going to do that.
It sounds like an altar.
Yeah, it does, kind of.
But
spiritual significance.
How do you get 70 men gathered up? I mean, you know, you've got to corral them somehow. You got to get them to this stone. I mean, we're not talking about a few guys,
right?
A few seedy guys that were worthless and reckless. There had to have been an overwhelming
bunch of them. Right. So really, I think this whole chapter and this whole story of Abimelech is about false revival trying to assert itself into the people of God and prevail. But there's one young guy who was a young kid, Jotham, was left, and he was not killed in that slaughter because he hid himself. And all the men of Shechem gathered together, all of Beth Millo, and they all went and made Abimelech king beside the terebinth tree at the pillar that was at Shechem.
Now, this is what the people see all around them. Kings of other nations self-governing without God coming in and telling you what to do.
And this is exactly what God did not want. This is why he had judges,
right,
not kings. In fact, this is why previous judges said they wanted to make him kings. They said, no way, don't make me a king. Remember?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, right. They made him a governor.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, my word. Okay, so he gets away, Jotham,
right.
Yeah.
So then he creates this allegory, which is actually kind of beautiful.
It is.
Okay, so here's the deal.
Yeah.
When false revival begins to emerge, God will lift up a prophetic voice to refute it and show you the way out.
Wow. He shows you the way out.
Well,
this
kind of.
Look at what he said.
Look at what he says in this allegory. The trees, verse 8 of Judges 9. The trees once went forth to anoint a king over them. And they said to the olive tree, reign over us. But the olive tree said, should I cease giving my oil with which I honor God, which they honor God and man, and go to sway over trees? The honor of God above men here is upheld in this allegory.
Mm.
And the trees said to the fig tree, you come and reign over us. But the fig tree said to them, should I cease my sweetness and my good fruit and to go to sway over trees? And the trees said to the vine, you come and reign over us. But the vine said to them, should I cease my new wine, which cheers both God and men, and go sway over trees? Then all the trees said to the bramble. Now, in the allegory, see, these various kinds of trees are Gideon's sons. No, they are.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you brought that forward. Because
the bramble is Abimelech.
He is Abimelech.
Right. Then all the trees said to the bramble, you come and reign over us. And the bramble said to the trees, if in truth you anoint me as king over you, then come and take shelter in my shade. But if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. In other words, what the allegory is saying, if you have this guy as king, it is not going to end well. And there's going to be destruction and all kinds of terrible stuff. So then he says, so that's his allegory. So then in verse 16, Jotham says, now therefore, if you have acted in truth and sincerity in making Abimelech king, and if you have dealt well with Zerubbabel and his house, and have done to him as he deserves, which all these things were not true.
Right.
Okay, for my father fought for you, risked his life, and delivered you out of the hand of Midian, but you have risen up against my father's house this day and killed his 70 sons on one stone, and made Abimelech, the son of his female servant, king over the men of Shechem, because he is your brother. If then you have acted in truth and sincerity with Jerubbaal and his house this day, then rejoice in Abimelech and let him also rejoice. But if not,
here we go.
Here's where this boy is prophesying, man. I mean, he's really bringing it. If not, let fire come from Abimelech and devour the men
oh,
of Shechem and Beth Millo. And let fire come from the men of Shechem and from Beth Millo and devour Abimelech. And Jotham ran away and fled. He was prophesying the stuff that you're going to read in these next verses.
I just now picked up on that.
I mean, it's amazing.
I did. Holy cats.
Yeah. Here's this truth.
Yeah.
False revival is trying to emerge here in the person of Abimelech. God always raises up a prophetic voice to correct it and send it in the right direction, or at least let the people know what's coming,
right?
So they can
repent. And what do we hear today in the social atmosphere? We do have prophetic voices that have been speaking out. Many people follow. Many people are listening to this, but there hasn't been a whole lot of action,
right,
coming out of these prophetic words.
Well, there were actions that came out of this one. we're gonna see what they were. So 3 years went by.
Okay? Right.
So Abimelech's reigning as king in the time of the judges. It's a total anomaly. It's not the will of God. It's not God's plan and purpose, but it's his own selfish ambition and all that stuff. And so, in verse 23, God sends a spirit of ill will between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. And the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. Now remember, this is no more or less than Jotham's prophecy starting to come to pass.
Right.
3 years later.
He swayed the people of Shechem to follow him, and now we've got 3 years later.
Abimelech did,
and now Shechem is now dealing treacherously with Abimelech.
Who would think it?
Well, it's this constant sway over the people. They don't know which way to go.
Right.
Without leadership.
But then the writer here tells that the crime done to the 70 sons of Jerubbaal may be settled, and their blood be laid on Abimelech, their brother, who killed them, and on the men of Shechem who aided him in the killing of his brothers. Now, there's a principle we could spend a little time on, Pete, that we didn't talk about before.
What's that?
But the shedding of innocent blood.
Right.
I mean, this Abimelech takes his 70 brothers. They were kind of trusting him, actually. And he gets all his rowdy and corrupt guys he's hired and kills them all on one rock.
Wow.
their blood is crying out for vengeance. And this is a theme that starts early, and it starts way back with Cain and Abel.
It does.
And goes through the whole Bible, including the New Testament.
Wow.
Innocent blood cries out.
Oh, my word.
And my friends, we assure you today, listeners, the innocent blood of the unborn, 64 million of them, slaughtered in the United States of America, is continually crying out before the Lord God.
Oh, my word.
So if you need something to help you pray and seek God, there's one thing right there. God help us.
God help
us. What have we done as a nation?
Man, and we still are up against it. We've got states that are abortion on demand now. Even unto the birth of the child.
And others that are banning it.
Well, there are, but it's like this atmosphere, like we are in contention right now.
It's a war, and that's what was going on in Shechem.
Right.
In the spiritual atmosphere. All right, so the men of Shechem set men in ambush against him on the tops of the mountains. This is the guy they anointed as king. Now they set ambush against him. And they robbed all who passed by them along the way, and it was told Abimelech.
Well, they ran out of money.
The 22 grand ran out.
Holy cats, let's see if we can get some of that back.
Man. Now, Gaal, the son of Ebed, came with his brothers and went over to Shechem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Gaal is kind of raised up here as a potential hero to defeat Abimelech.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so they go out in the fields, they wreck the fields, and they do all this bad stuff. They curse Abimelech. Gaal says, who is Abimelech and who is Shechem that we should serve him? Is he not the son of Zerubbabel, and is not Zebul his officer? Serve the men of Hamor, the father of Shechem, but why should we serve him? And he says, if only this people were under my authority.
Ooh.
So what this is a bunch of petty so-called kings rising up and contending with each other in this spiritual fog of confusion that's over Shechem.
Man.
It's amazing.
Well, this is a region too, isn't it? I mean,
this
isn't the first. I mean, Hamor, the father of Shechem, this goes all the way back into Genesis.
Yeah.
But this isn't a new town.
Right.
This is something that's been around for
a while.
Yeah.
Right. So Gaal says, if I had the authority here, I would remove Abimelech. So he said to Abimelech, increase your army and come out. In other words, let's get it on.
Yeah.
And, and so they get all ranked up, and they're Abimelech, they send messengers to Abimelech secretly. Gaal is he's rising up against you. Get out by night, you and the people who are with you, and lay wait in the field. So they do that, and it actually works.
Right. The trap's been set.
Right. So Gaal comes out, and Abimelech and his people are laying in wait, and they basically get defeated. So verse 40, Abimelech chased him. He fled from him. Many fell wounded to the very entrance of the gate. And Abimelech dwelt at Arumah, and Zebul drove out Gaal and his brothers so that they would not dwell in Shechem.
So here you got the guy that you think, when he comes on scene, that he's going to take out
Abimelech. He's going to be the deliverer.
But something happens. I mean, he just doesn't have the... Is there no anointing on Gaal?
There's his own lust for power.
Oh, doc.
It's right there in verse 29.
Oh, my word.
Right, that's all he's got. He doesn't have God with him.
So he cannot prevail.
Right.
All right.
All right.
What
so
happened the next day?
So,
42.
Yeah, 42. It came about the next day. The people went out into the field, told Abimelech. So he took his people, divided them into three companies, lay in wait in the field again.
Mm-hmm.
They come out, they attack them, and they win. They fought against all the city that day, took the city, killed the people. So it's what we don't want to hear. The bad guy wins again.
You know? Yeah, he does.
Several times in this
and
story.
And he's laying ruin to the city. Doctor, right. Is there anywhere in America right now where evil is laying ruin to cities?
Yeah.
Can you name one?
Chicago.
How about Portland?
Yeah, Portland. How about Minneapolis?
How about Seattle?
Yeah.
Holy buckets, man. We got a problem here because this is, there's nothing new under the sun, people. You understand that this is the way that the enemy fights.
Yes.
He gets up and he gathers up people that are discontented, people that are orphaned, and he's persuaded them to come up against what is right.
And notice that the financing for this
All
comes out of the Baal Berit temple.
Yeah, could
the
you
22
say
22 grand to kick this off, and then he's made king. And then he's probably got access to a whole bunch more money.
So who's the guy that's funding Portland and Seattle? And right, that guy. That's money. There's money out there.
Right.
Soros.
Oh, yeah, Soros. Yeah,
oh,
absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. Well.
So verse 46, and when all the men of the Tower of Shechem heard that, they entered the stronghold of the temple of the god Berit. And it was told Abimelech. So he goes up with an axe in his hand and cuts down a bough, tells all the people to do the same thing. And so they do it, and they basically take all these branches of wood and leaves and throw it around this stronghold, this tower, and set it on fire, and 1,000 people die. I mean, this is the kind of guy Abimelech is.
Right.
And this women is, and children in this tower.
Right. And this is the prophetic word that came out, that Abimelech was going to
fire.
Fire.
Yeah, right.
Here it comes.
From the allegory, right?
Oh, my word.
There it is. Yeah, Jotham said it. Then Abimelech went to Thebes and there encamped against Thebes and took it.
Mm.
And once again, there's a tower. And here's where you can run, but you can't hide. When you're opposing God, when you're operating under the orphan spirit, you can manipulate, you can twist, you even can win some battles sometimes, which Abimelech did.
Right.
And then we come to verse 52. Abimelech came as far as the tower and fought against it, and he drew near the door of the tower to burn it with fire. Here he's doing again what the prophetic word said he did. That's his deal.
That's his deal.
His fire, destructive fire. But a certain woman dropped an upper millstone on Abimelech's head and crushed his skull.
Dude.
That's almost harks us back to Deborah and JL.
It does.
Sisera
totally.
Deal.
Right.
Remember where she nails the tent peg through
his
head?
Oh, my God.
I mean, these are women that know what to do at the right time. Really. I mean, when you think of the strategic times and places where women are in the Bible story, it's like this woman here. We don't even get her name.
Right.
She goes, it's Abimelech. Boom.
How big is a upper millstone?
Dude, it's big.
I mean, you can. It's big.
Yeah, I mean, it's about all you can lift.
She's like, give me the millstone.
Throw it down on him.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, and then he says, verse 54, to the young man, his armor bearer, draw your sword and kill me, lest men say of me, a woman killed him. Well, sorry, dude, it's too late. You can have your guy kill you, but it's the woman that crushed your skull.
Right. And
with
this
the
is,
upper millstone.
And really, unto death, pride.
Right.
His pride
that's
just totally raises up inside him.
Exactly. So, the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead. They departed every man to his place. Thus God repaid the wickedness of Abimelech, which he had done to his father by killing his 70 brothers. And all the evil of the men of Shechem God returned on their own heads, and on them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Zerubbabel.
Wow. Don't get cursed by God.
Man, oh man. But understand that when false revival...
Man, that's the
starts theme. To rise up. God will bring a prophetic voice, and you better listen to it. Because he laid it out. Jotham laid it out in the allegory and his explanation of exactly what was going to happen. And it did.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. So it's kind of like a little interlude here in our continuing story of revival in the book of Judges. We get what we don't expect. A king. What? A king.
Right.
We didn't want a king. Well, we got one anyway. And he totally fails because he is struggling against God, taking his financing from the idol temple, doing all this bad stuff, and it looks for a while like he's getting away with it.
Sure does.
And then the upper millstone comes.
Boom.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the wickedness of men, is not going to be... It ain't going away anytime soon, Doc.
That's right.
It's still coming, and you better believe, Christian, that it's coming to a city near you.
That's right.
I mean, somehow we think that we're going to skirt this rebellion that we've had against the Lord for all these years, like that there's not going to be a price to be paid for it. I mean, Jesus does come in. He does. We are saved, Doc.
Yes.
Our listeners are saved.
Right.
You know, they've come to the cross. Their sins have been forgiven. But it doesn't stop there. We have to keep doing what you say, our small part, so that he can do his big part.
That's right.
We need God to do a big thing in America, and America needs to see that it is God that is doing it.
And the first way we overcome the orphan spirit is by just walking in the Father's love ourselves,
yeah,
and leading people into it, because the Father's love is the greatest weapon against it.
Are there any other signs and symptoms of the orphan spirit that you've seen that, you know, perhaps, listener, you could start to measure these words that Doc is speaking and say, you know what, I know some guys like that, and to be able to move into your prayer closet for these particular men. One of them is the desire to be in control. This is men and women. The orphan spirit doesn't, not genderless.
Right. Perfectionism would be another one.
Ooh.
Where you have a father that demanded of you that you perform, and you perform at the highest level, and boys, you get in there and you sack that quarterback and you hand him his butt, kill him. You know, I mean, figuratively.
Right.
But fathers do that with their boys all the time.
The report card, Dad.
Oh, the report card, yeah.
Ooh.
I don't know, but I had times when I had to put a piece of cardboard in my pants. I brought my report card home. Yeah, back in the day. Right. Yeah.
Wow.
But, yeah, that kind of father that is kind of a performance-driven father is going to treat his children that way. And that orphan spirit's going to come in there and say, I can never measure up to this. I'm that. And you compensate other ways.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, we just want to thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, this has been an amazing time here in the Book of Judges. Remember, you are an agent of this revival that's coming.
Hallelujah.
And the Spirit of the Lord is upon you.
Yeah, and you're not a secret agent.
That's right. That's
right. Get up into the mainstream of things, you know?
So God bless you. We love you. And we'll see you next time.